It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الوالي الكريم وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين أما بعد Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it and that He is alone and has no part And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer. Which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
With the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Tested by questions and answers since the year 1970, the ending of the moon cycle and the coming of the sun cycle. The master teacher has incarnated on earth to save those who are lost. Find your way to the true light, for the time is at hand. We, the Ether people, the Nubians, must come together. We don't need the fake teachers, the false prophets, the lying preachers, the wannabe messiahs and so-called leaders who don't know the way. Where did we come from? How did we get here? And how long must we stay? Who is this evil one that has plagued us for 6,000 years? And when will his time end? Listen to the voice of our Savior as he lifts the spell of Leviathan and restores the power of Elohim in your heart. For you are the children of the Holy Tabernacle, the sons of the Elohim. Find your way to the nearest tabernacle of the Most High. And sit and listen to the voice of our Savior, the Lamb who dwells amongst us before it's too late.
You are now listening to Rabboni Yeshua Bar El Hadi on Mount Zion, the City of Peace.
According to Revelations, okay, because I remember, you know, Guinness, so I'm an old sister, and according to the Book of Revelations and everything that was sent down in that particular book, and when they talk about the 144,000 and everything that was standing on Mount Zion, and then after the year 2000, then what? I mean, what are we going to be doing? What do we have to do? I mean, are we making plans? That's what you mean about that for us? As far as the Amorites and all that, you know, all that stuff is predicted because
nothing in prediction changes.
Yeah.
You follow that?
Uh-huh.
What you're looking at now is Revelations 21. Revelation 21 ties right in to Malachi 4. You follow what I'm saying?
Malachi 4.
Book of Malachi, chapter 4, about the incoming of the end of the world.
Okay.
If you look at the Revelation 21, when they talk about the removal of the sky and the removal of the earth, or they say the heavens and the earth is going to be taken away and a new one is going to come in, that's the same thing that took place in Genesis. The old world, right, before Adam and Eve was removed, and a new world came in with the birth of Adam and Eve. And then again it happened in Genesis when you get down to the prophet Noah, and they moved everybody off the planet, and they took his seed and replenished the planet again. So there's multiple times where the Almighty steps in and says, I'm going to remove all living things or either all creeping things, and I'm going to bring in new things, what they call a replenishing or a refilling of the earth.
Uh-huh.
All right, we're coming back into that cycle right now.
Oh, we are.
We're coming back into the cycle because, pay attention, because the moon cycle has gone out and the sun cycle is coming in. The moon cycle is a symbol of the night or the shadow hour, and the sun cycle is a symbol of the day. We moved into the sun cycle because as the galaxy makes a complete circle, it's called an equinox. And the planet gets closer and further away from the sun at different times in its motion. During the period of time that the sun and the planet are close to each other, those are periods referred to as the solar era. And when it gets farther away from it, you know, it makes it...
Yeah,
but it's an egg-like shape.
Okay.
Right? When it gets further away, that is the moon cycle. That's why moon is synonymous with night and sun is synonymous with day. What is happening is, every certain amount of thousands of years, it happens. Right? We're getting ready to come back into the sun cycle. We already started into it a while back when what the devil referred to as the Aquarian Age. In that period of time, the sun gets closer to the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And a very strange thing happens, right?
Yeah.
The people who cannot live under the sun only have one alternative. What is it? No. They must go back to the cage.
Oh, okay. That's
they can't stay on the surface.
Yeah, okay.
You follow that?
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening now amongst the so-called Europeans, the reason why they're building underground tunnels across Europe, the reason why they're taking all the stores off the streets and turning them into malls, the reason why they're putting the cinemas or movies, as you call them, inside malls and hospitals and everything, or underground communications, because he's coming into an era of time that before in the Holy Quran, as you call it, so God speak about a period of time when they went into the caves. And they don't even know how long they were in the cage sleeping.
Uh-huh.
They were sleepers in the cage.
Yeah.
That means that was the other cycle when the sun cycle on the other side came in. Then it goes into a moon, and then it comes into a sun again, then back to the moon. It's two moon cycles and two sun cycles to complete that complete equinox.
Oh.
All right? We're at a period of time now where the sun cycle has come in, the ozone layer is moving, there's a greenhouse effect, the planet is warming up, and the European people have to get off the surface of the planet. They have to go underground, and they're trying to build everything. First, they tried to go out. They found out that life existed on Mars, but they couldn't exist there because of certain ammonia that they would make it impossible for them to survive. So now they're back to building underground. They linked up Europe. They had to get a one-world system so that all Europeans would be in tune, because those that are not in tune will die. So all we have to do, and people, when I speak about the end of the devil's rule or reign in 6,000 years, all we have to do is wait. You're looking for some phenomena other than what's taking place.
Okay.
In the books of Malachi, they call him the son of justice. They translate it as righteous, but it's the son, and they use the word Shemesh. They don't use the word son like Ben, son, S-O-N. They use the word S-U-N, and they speak about the son of justice bringing out the fire upon earth, right? That marks a period of time near the end of the world when the sun itself is going to become the means of justice.
Uh-huh.
And that justice is a confirmation of a prophecy that was made to us that when the devil comes out to harm us, fire would rain out of heaven upon them and consume them.
Uh-huh.
Follow that?
Yeah.
And that's happening to them right now. But we're looking for matches to be struck and flames. That's only one kind of fire. If you remember the hell book that I've written, I said there's a variety of different kind of fires. Is it a Is it a gas fire? Is it a carbon fire? Is it, you know, there's different kinds of fires. The sun in itself, Ra, is a form of fire. You follow that? They call it Amun Ra because Amun means trusted. You follow? Amun Ra means trusted. And it makes mention in the book of Revelations in the 3rd chapter in the 14th verse about El Amun. The trusted or faithful and the true. When I say faithful, I mean that I've made a promise with you and you are faithful to that promise. You follow that?
Yeah.
So Amun Ra has to hold faithful to his promise to us as people of the sun.
Okay.
When I say Amun Ra, people think right back to idol worship in Egypt, right? And I'm talking about Ra means to see.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, like I explained many times, that Hagar used when she went in the wilderness. She said El Roy, which was enough for saying I'm El Ra.
Okay.
She didn't say Amun because Amun was a certain people that she didn't belong to. It's another story. All right, so the promise is being fulfilled for us that the time for the devil is ending.
Mm-hmm.
The fire is pouring down out of the sky.
Uh-huh. It's happening now.
It's happening to them right now.
Yeah.
It's giving them skin cancer.
Uh-huh.
Each year they're told you can't go to the beaches. They love beaches. Beaches are a symbol of nudity to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the word nude is short for Nod, the land of Nod.
Okay.
In Hebrew, we don't say Nod. We say nude. Now they're pushing for nudity beaches, and it's amazing because they're pushing for nudity beaches, but they can't go to the beach. So they must be pushing for nudity beaches for you and I. Because it says, oh, children of Adam, don't let the devil seduce you and take off your clothes. So he can't be making nudity beaches for Europeans because they can't go to the beach no more. They're telling them, stay off the beaches. Where they're not getting burnt, they're poisoning the water. There's fires all across the country. Floods all across the country. All this is done by the Illuminati. They're trying to destroy the surface of the planet so that we will have to go underground with them. You understand that? They're at a point now where they
have to go. Do we? I mean, we're not going to go.
It depends. It depends on if
well,
it depends on if you're prepared or not.
Okay.
You've got to be prepared because regardless of how close the sun becomes to the planet Earth, it will not have any effect on us.
I mean, but do we have to prepare ourselves just as individuals? Like
no, we have to prepare ourselves as a body. That is our problem. We keep on breaking up into individuals and divided. We have no power. We're the only people that's disunited amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
We get broken down all the way down into Jehovah's Witnesses and Seventh-day Adventists and Sunni Muslims and Ansars. We're broken up into all kind of little stupid splinter groups. There's Egyptologists over here. Dr. Ben is on this side and Clark is on this side and Siraj Wahaj is over here, and Muhammad al-Amin is in Al-Islam, and Farrakhan is over here, and Warwick Dee is over here. And that's just in the Islamic world.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you get into the Hebrew world, you got Ben Amin Carter, Yahweh Ben Yahweh over here, Rabbi Jeremiah over here, Rabbi Matthews over here. And that's in the black so-called Jewish section.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you get into Christianity, you got Seventh-day Adventists, Pentecostals, Episcopalians, Protestants, Baptists, Lutherans, Catholics. And all of this has been set up to divide us in mind. Because the power of us coming together mentally can affect the world. The whole thing is to keep us divided in mind, right? Because of this day and time. The devil's time is at its expiration date.
Mm-hmm.
It's fulfilling its prophecy. It's 6,000 years that's coming to an end. Now, what he has to do is get off of the surface of the planet. If you would just be patient, he'll have to leave. He can't reverse the greenhouse effect. He cannot push the sun away. He cannot reverse the destruction of the ozone layer. He can't stop that. It's not bothering you. He's convincing you that it's bothering you.
Right.
He's trying to tell you, you better not go to the beach, because if you go to the beach, you're going to catch skin cancer.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You was born on the beach. What do you think Ethiopia is? What do you think Sudan is? 130, 110, 115 degrees all year round. You follow that?
Yeah.
So we are waiting. I am waiting for the sun. I raise my hands to Amun Ra and say, come closer to Earth. Because the closer he gets, the faster he gets, the quicker they have to go underground. And what they're trying to do now is they're trying to destroy the surface of the planet. So they're poisoning the water so we'll have no fish.
I'm telling you.
They're burning all the forests so all the livestock is gone. They've corrupted all the farmland. And then they are destroying all the countries that oppose them where we might take refuge. You follow that? All the Middle East is being wiped out. All of Sudan, Ethiopia, Somalia. Don't fall for that Somali lift. That Somali lift was a result of the fact that they looked on television and saw them camps in Russia, and they saw them Amorites starving over there, so they had to get food over there. And one day, it took them to close all them camps in Russia and bring food, and because the public's eye was on it, they sent a couple of bags of beans to Ethiopia so it looked like a balance for the UN. But actually, they're not least concerned. Part of the plot is to destroy all of what's called Africa, either by AIDS, famine, you follow diseases, they're going to wipe it out. Because they have to go, like the Quran taught, back in the cave. You follow that? They have no choice. They build these high-rises and these condominiums. All of the so-called Europeans who live on the southern part of this country are now moving north.
So they're going to eventually leave out of South Africa?
They have to. They have to leave out of South Africa. But it's going to be in such a bad state, there's nothing we can do with it anyway. They gave the land to these Amorites. They didn't have to. They could have taken, and they didn't have to leave Nelson Mandela in jail for 26 years. So they wanted him in there until they lobotomized him and used him as a tool. But let me get back to where we at. People ask me all the time about South Africa. I'm not in South Africa. We're right here, and we got problems. And we better get straight. We better start worrying about what's happening with us here, and we're running out of time, and they're making more demands. The reason why you see them trying to renovate your neighborhoods and buy up your neighborhoods is because they have to get out of the South. You understand that? They got to leave Georgia. They got to leave Florida. They got to leave South Carolina. And they don't have to live from the upper part of North Carolina up where the weather is controllable until they can go underground. So now you drive all up in these mountains and all you see is Florida plates and all old Jews walking around up here. Because they're trying to find places up here, up in Canada. That's their refuge. So there's many times they try to put a community in Canada, they couldn't get it established. We have a problem with Syracuse, with Buffalo, all up there. And it dawned on me. Because we have to get out of here and go south. Why do we have to go south? And why do we have to go to an area south where it's open and not mountainous? Because that's where he can't come. He cannot chase you where he cannot go. You follow that? So as long as we're up in a mountain area, he can come up here. But when we get down in an area where it's flat and open plains and the temperatures range in the hundreds, we don't have to worry about him coming down there because as the sun gets closer, he will not be able to survive. It would be suicide for him to pursue us in an environment where nature is fighting against him. You understand what I'm trying to say? This is a day and time we are now for the people to say, why are we leaving Mount Zion and going south? Because we're passing him on the road. That, and let the fools come this way, and we'll go that way where he can't come. But we're going to have to learn how to survive down there.
Yeah.
Because you forgot how to be sun people. And that's one of the main reasons why I said stop the perms and the jerry curls and all that crap, because you can't afford it and you won't have access to it. Do you follow what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
And I didn't say go back to Afro, because Afro described one hairstyle. One hairstyle. I heard somebody say just yesterday, if they were to bring that hairstyle up to today, instead of us being called Afro-Americans, we would have to be called Jerry Curl Americans, or Extension Americans, or Perm Americans, because Afro is just a hairstyle, and the word Afro don't apply to us. We are not Africans. And I say that to say nobody is African. There is no such thing as an African. The word African means Ifriqiya, to divide us up into pieces. We are Ethiopians, we are Egyptians, we are Cushites, Hamites, Shemites. We are not Africans. You follow that? We have broken up into families, became known as Ashanti, we became known as Mandingans, we got set up with Igbo, we became many different names. But when you get past all those tribal names and get down to it, we are Shemites and not Semites. They could be Semi. They could be Semites. We're Shemites. You follow? So we have to prepare ourselves for this hour of time. And the sun is on our side. Nature is on your side. But he is destroying the planet intentionally with all kind of earthquakes. And right now, if you look on the news, there's fires in Florida, there's fires in California, there's fire. He's burning up all the forests. When you burn the forests, you're chasing the animals. If he's burning the forests down there, which direction is he chasing the animals? If he's poisoning all the waters on the seacoast of Florida, where is he chasing all the fish? Now, why would he chase the fish and the animals up here? Huh? Because he's going to be living up here. So the best way for me to chase you is to light a fire. I light a fire on this side, I can guarantee that whatever's on that side is going to run in that direction. So if you monitor them fires start off the coast of Florida, and they're moving all up. Now they're talking about South Carolina, all on the coast of South Carolina. They can't get inland. So what you do is go inland. Stay off the coast. You follow that, and all the animals will run inland and north. And there you'll set up your colonies for survival. You follow that?
Who is he planting food and stuff like that?
Or stuff. One or the other. Won't be no A&P.
Won't be no A&P, right?
Of us.
And that's why I'm with it. Yeah, my name is Tahida. And is there a red equivalent for that name?
For Tahida? Not like that. You know, that the word Ahad, right? Ahad. And Ahada is the same as Ahad, right? And Tawheed, but see, Tawheed is a created word. The reason why I say it's a created word, because it's used in Islam, and Islam claims to come out of the Quran, correct? That when Muhammad received the Quran, that's when they formulated the system of Islamic teaching, and they corrected this divine language in which this scripture was sent down. You follow me? However, the name Tawheed is nowhere in the Quran. Which meant that after the Quran was completed, then men looked in the Quran when they were setting up grammars and stuff and created words from words. Mm-hmm. So in Arabic language, yeah, Tawheed is a word, but it's not a Quranic word. It's a word that they've made from the word Wahid. Yeah. You follow? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would like to ask a question. The importance of coming into the tabernacle, those that want to come in, and were rejected because of medical reasons. I'm not speaking about the
safety
of these people. What happened to those people?
I can't speak for those people because that's the day and time we're in. We're in a strange day and time. And that is that we have evoluted ourselves from pure mental, right? We had a perfect ether and a bushel. We have evoluted into some new being. And I don't mean Nubian. I mean some new kind of being that's not in tune with the original self. You know, we're radical, we're unpredictable, we think a lot like the enemy.
Yeah.
We're self-destructive, we're uncooperative, and up in the most, we're disagreeable. So we have subject ourselves to a lot of stuff that has changed us. So it's hard to look in the eyes of a Nubian person and know what you're looking at now. You follow?
Yeah, shalom.
Shalom.
I'm a part of the Christite Coptic Hebrews. And we wrote you several letters, and we didn't hear any response, so we read in your bulletin what you did right. And we'd like to know, well, why didn't we hear any response to you first?
So many people are trying to match what I'm teaching, not necessarily you. And oftentimes, they really would like to know what they're talking about, but they don't. You know, they say, I'm fluent and I'm hard. And they make a statement like, Haile Selassie means this. And I look and say, that's not what it means in Amharic. It might mean something in a modern translation that is east, we're in the Ethiopia today, but that's not what it means in ancient Giza. Or they'll say in the scripture, this person is this, and that's not who that person is. They're reading English translations or Amharic translations from English. So understand, the devil has ran way up ahead of y'all in the early 19th century, the 1910, 11, and 12, and started translating all the scriptures into French out of a land in French called Bukhara. And then translated from that into Arabic. So the Arabic Bibles you got are originally translated from French, not from the original. The Amharic Bibles you're getting are not from, and Haile Selassie and people like himself were sellouts to Ethiopia. They were not for Ethiopia. He was a sellout. He was a Christian, a Coptic Christian. You cannot be a Christian and be of the pure seed of the house of Judah. You can only be of the pure seed of the house of Judah. And you can read it. If you read the book of the prophet, who they call him a prophet. They call say Nubia in Hebrew, and it means a prophesier as opposed to a divine, which is a prophet. And it's called Melachi. Melachi means in Hebrew, my angel. They say messenger, so they don't want to translate that. If you read that, you'll see how they address false Kohen. They call them false priests, people who are perverting the law, who don't keep the sacrifices and don't know how to do this and don't know how to do that. It's only four chapters, but it's the last of the 12. They have the 12 of the 21 in the Tanakh. 12 of the 21, which is supposed to be the 12 minor prophets. And the 12 minor prophets, they are there to explain to us where errors went wrong. And the last one, the most powerful, is Melech. And he predicts all the future events. Certain people would love for, let's say, Elijah Muhammad to be Elijah. Other people would love for Haile Selassie to be the Lion of Judah. That just wasn't it. They never did anything that rendered them it. Their congregations are desperate for a person to hug, so they create an aura around a person that I met Haile Selassie personally. Right? He never saw himself as Jesus. And of course, we could say after that, well, of course, Jesus would say he's not Jesus. Then if we say, you know, if I say to you, are you Jesus? And you say no. I say, okay, only Jesus would say he's not Jesus. Then I say, well, okay, then I am Jesus. Then you say, I told you he's Jesus. Haile Selassie never subscribed to Jesus. Haile Selassie was educated in France. He was not a direct descendant from Solomon. And if he was a direct descendant of Solomon, which I point out in that bulletin, it's still not good enough for us because his father and him both married Hittite women. They married the cursed seed of the Canaan, of which Abraham, who was our father, and the shield falls under Abraham, not David. That's another thing I read. They mentioned the shield of David. Morgan Dawit is not Morgan Abraham. If you look in the 15th chapter in the first verse, Bereshit, where they refer to as Genesis, the shield is Abraham's shield. That is the star we wear. The shield of, it's called Morgan Abraham. And he says, the Lord said, I am your shield, Abraham. They're following a different star, Interlock star, which is a symbol of Satan. It has nothing to do with the star that we're found. So what it is I addressed it like I read the pamphlets, I looked at them, I saw pictures from our books in it, I saw information what was wrong on Haile Selassie, so I said, I'm writing a book about Haile Selassie anyway. Not so much about Haile Selassie as the character, but as one of the characters in our Ethiopian life, because we are the original Ethiopian people. Sudanese are Ethiopians, whether they want to accept it or not. And Ethiopians are Cushites, and Cushites all come under Ham and Shem, right, which are the sons of Nah. So what I did is I addressed it subtly instead of openly like I usually do. What I usually do when someone writes me and says, you're wrong, you think you know what you're talking about, then I usually go, so you want to play games? And I write a whole book about them. That's my way of saying, don't play with me. I'm not the same thing you are. I'm not some person who just pops up with a little information, you know, and trying to get a congregation. I say that to the 5%ers. I say that to Farrakhan. I say that to the Sunni Muslims. This is a different level of information that we're coming from. And so what happened is I addressed it subtly the same way I did when the Sunnis first wrote about me. I put out a couple of little leaflets, and then I said, you understand what I can do, and I left it alone. And then they came back with a cult book, and I said, okay, so you want to fight? I don't want to fight, because this is going to be Kushite on Kushite, but being you want to play, let's dance. And, you know what I'm saying? By the time I wasted, you know, researching the Quran and showing them their errors, I could have spent raising the nation. And then I got sidetracked because I was on a Jesus Christ mission at the time, writing a series of books about who is Jesus' father. I was, you know, trying to get that spell of the ghost spell out of our heads. And I got sidetracked by my own people. And I got there. When I got there, I met the 5%ers, and then I got sidetracked by the 5%ers. And I'm like, back on mainstream. And I said, is this another? When I got to myself, I said, this is going to be another sidetrack. I'm going to have to stay here and badger more of my own people. So I said, let me just write about it, right? And left it on. I have a whole book on Ethiopia and the history of the line and descendancy of Judah, where they went, who they are, documented facts, not hypothetics. Shur was a land. He was not from Shur. He migrated to Shur. He was raised in a Gora, another whole province in Ethiopia. Moved there, and the land was established by a descendant, and it wasn't Menelik. It's a whole big thing that they play games with people. When he went to Jamaica, for instance, he didn't respect the Rastafarians. He was very disrespectful. Haile Selassie did not acknowledge their presence at all. He visited a temple because he was forced to, but he didn't respect them. In Ethiopia, he was overthrowing the country. He brought Christianity into Ethiopia. The man who ruled Ethiopia before him was a Muslim. But he was not a Muslim. They say Muslim, and they try to make it sound like he was an Arab Muslim. He was not. He was a Sudanese Muslim who believed in the Torah and lived like we do as Islamic Hebrews. But they eliminated him to put Haile Selassie in so that they could bring Christianity in. And I'll tell you why. Because they're trying to find the Ark of the Covenant. This is what they want to get their hands on. They've made a movie about it, Raiders of the Lost Ark, because they know the power of the cherubim that El Elo Yahweh channels. He controls both Elohims, the Elohims that are good and the Elohims that are bad, which they don't say good and bad in Hebrew. We use the word Tov and Ra, which is agreeable and disagreeable. Those disagreeable and agreeable Elohims. And disagreeable ones are the ones that have the wings symbolic right? They protect the Ark of the Covenant that we as Ben Israel. When he said Ben Israel, you're including Ishmaelites. Ishmaelites, Muslims may think they're in another religion, but they're nothing but a 5% branch off from Israel. We are Ishmaelites. We are Midianites. We are Jacob's sons. But Esau is also us, or the Edomites are us. But they laid their mountains to waste because they maliciously went out and married Hittites. Maliciously, Esau went out to marry Hittite women to get even because he lost the blessing. There's no such word as birthright in the Torah. It's not in there. The word is blessing, the word is buroka, and it means the blessing. And that blessing was money. This is what the problem was. It wasn't about nothing spiritual. It was about money. And when Jacob got the money, Esau was mad and went back to his father and said, could you give me a little money? That's the Hebrew understanding from Aramaic. But in the Christian Bible, you're going to get lost because they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, so that's why we came here.
Yes.
We came here because I want to get together with you and put out some stuff to a lot of the Rastafarians, because I bear witness to your adoption in society. So it wasn't a matter of we trying to fight off adoption.
Trying to work together.
But trying to hook up, because some of the same things you're talking about now, about Ethiopia, about the sun, and even etymology.
The nine ethers.
Yeah, nine ethers, number nine also, we've been saying for a long time.
The Wapo, like you know about the Wapo and all those?
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the ancient scientists.
I heard a tape about the Beni Elohim, the Elohim.
You are Elohim, believe it. Mm-hmm. And the Elohim that sits here are both good and bad, or simply agreeable and disagreeable. That's us. You know what I'm saying? And he is El. El is the Elohim, is the plural of it. You see that? El, Elohim. You are. That's why Yeshua said, is it not written in your law? He was saying, but notice he said, is it not written in your law? Because he was taking them back to Tiflin. The Tiflin is called what you refer to as the Psalms. The Psalms. And what they would do, let me just want to finish, they would sing a song. The whole congregation would sing. And this will also address this young lady's question. They would sing the song of praise, and at the end of the song, they would say, Salat. They thought that's true, but they'd say Salat. Salat in Hebrew is said, Sali. Sad, Lam, Lamet, and Hay. That's the Sali, you see. That's like in Muslim saying, coming to Salat. Salat, Sa'ad, Lam, Alif, Tamabuta in Hebrew is Sa'ad. You follow that? Lamed, and Hay. You ever notice that at the end of certain prayer it says Salat, which meant now it's time to get up to pray. And when they got up and prayed, they raised their hand towards the sky. You can see this amongst the Falashians today, in Harashia. Raise their hand towards the sky like you'll find on the walls in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. We raise our hands. What we did in ancient Egypt and what we did in Ethiopia and what we did in Sudan was the same. We didn't start looking down at fire until we got infiltrated by pale Arabs. And they taught us to stop looking towards Ra and start looking down at the ground. Everything, listen to this, everything that you know of that is healthy grows this way. Grows towards the sun. Not this way. You understand what I'm saying? So this was a major plot to remove one spell, Christianity, and reinstill another spell, Islamic. And it wasn't the real Muslim teachers, because the real Muslim teachers, they held their hands up. Somewhere along the line, people got in and they institutionalized Salat. And I said, let's go back to the Quran for what it's worth, El's Quran, and look and see in it what he says. And eliminate all the things that we're doing that he does not say. And when you do that, you eliminate looking down, because it's not in there. There's no place in the Quran where it says, put your hands on your heart and put your face down. My descendants did it, and they passed it on to me. And in your birth, it was passed on to you. You follow that? So that was step one. Right? Now we're moving on further to no longer worshiping, but becoming that which was worshipped. I put it clearer. And I'm not saying El. Don't fool yourself. Unless you can create an act. All right? And if you get to that level, I'm just saying, but we have to become who we really are. And that makes us responsible for the universe, because that's what we were created to be, caretakers. Do you hear me? And somewhere along the line, something got removed from us. It got removed in Genesis. If you look at the fourth chapter and the 26th verse, you'll see where it says, and the Almighty gave Adam and Eve another son to replace the other one, like and in the image and after the likeness of Adam. This son, Seth, was not in the image and after the likeness of Elohim, the angelic beings responsible for the replenishing of earth. Read it again. It says, in the image and after the likeness of Adam. What state was Adam in the fourth chapter, which is after the third chapter? Was he in a positive state or had he sinned? You see that? So Seth's seed, meaning most of you, right, were descendants from, like Adam, who had sinned. Now I talk simple, plain, common sense. When you take a little baby, I don't care whether it's black, white, or purple, do you have to teach that baby evil, or do they naturally take from other kids? Are they naturally possessors? You follow that? Do you realize that when your baby is hugging you and mooring on your hand and you're fascinated, and what the baby's really trying to do is eat you? Do you know that? You think that when your baby's mooring on your hand, that's cute. Your baby is really trying to eat you. It doesn't know that you're not food. A baby will reject you, and you can say, here's a cookie, and a baby will come. That's a certain part of our nature. That same nature that God took us to the tree. Adam's seed was not good. Our seed was good. You follow that? Adam's name, originally, Adam's name, not Adam. Adam's name, because it said, and call their name Adama. The word Adama means of the dust of the ground. But in that same Torah, they give you the name of Adam and Eve when they say, male and female created he them, and call their names Adam. Now, what is the name then? When they use the word male, the same thing happens in El's Quran. They say, Zakar wa Anthar. We created you male and female. Zakar wa Anthar. However, the word Zakar, Zakara, has nothing to do with being a male or female or gender. It has to do with the word to remember, zikr. You follow that? In the Torah, it says, male and female created he them and called their name Adam. Zakar wa Nakibu was their names. When you trace the Nakibu back to ancient Aramaic, it means leadership and out front in power. And Nakibu was the female, not the male. Then Zakar was Adam's name. Adam doesn't mean that's his name. Adam means of the ground, or earth being, as opposed to a Elohim being. There was Elohim of heaven and Elohims on earth, physical ones and spiritual ones. If you want to see it, again, in the book of Malachi, right in the fourth chapter of it, they call them the Almighty God. Before, or they say Godly. And if you trip back to your Aramaic, you see they have in there Elohim al-Bashar. Right? Elohim in the flesh. Now, so you had Adam's seed, who's an Elohim, and you have Nakibu, who you call Hawa. And the reason why they call her Hawa or Haya, because it meant wind. You follow that? It meant the breath, the nachas, that's breathed into a person. And the reason why they say that woman comes out of man is because man decides the gender of the child, whether it's an XY chromosome, not that somebody snaps nobody's rib, rips their chest open. That's not what's in there. You're talking about a replenishing of the world, not a creation of the world. Adam and Eve were not the first people on the planet for us. You understand that? I'll give you some simple reasons why. One is, we use a basic biblical concept. We have Cain, Abel, Adam, and Eve. Is that the basic Christian concept? How many people was that? Four people. Cain kills Abel. He eliminates one of the people. How many people are left?
Three.
Who are these people?
Adam, Eve, and Cain.
Right? Adam, Eve, and Cain. Three people, right? Now, when the Almighty addresses Cain concerning the killing of his brother, Cain cried that his penalty is greater than he could bear, right? And then he said he put a mark on him, right? A birthmark, exactly what it is, a birthmark on him. That what? What was Cain afraid of? Tell me. Anybody what? Cain was afraid that if anybody finding him will kill him. Could you tell me who was going to find him if there's only three people on the planet? Who was he afraid of if there was nobody else on the planet but him, his mother, and father? It wasn't his father he was worrying about. It wasn't his mother he was worrying about. There must have been other people on the planet that he was worried about that would kill him. And when he left that land and went into the land of Nod, he encountered other people. There, it was already there, Nephilims. Then again, they say, that a man should leave his mother and his father and cling unto his wife, and they should become one flesh, correct? If these are the first people on the planet, who was that law for before it was said to them? It didn't say you are to leave your mother and father. It said a man, as if the law was already set. A man is to leave his mother and leave his father and cling unto his wife, and they're to become one flesh. If that law was set, who was it set for if there was nobody there? And nobody else got married. You follow? And why is the word refill or replenish? Because in Hebrew or Aramaic, the word is bara. They don't use the word halakha. Yes, there is a Hebrew word halakha, meaning creation, and it talks about the original creation that took place billions of years ago. But Adam and Eve, 49,000 years ago, was a recreation, a bara. And look it up in Hebrew. You see right there, bara. And that means to remake, to remodel, or to rebuild, not to create.
We will continue following this brief intermission. Have you ever wondered why so many Nubians or black people seem to aid the devil in destroying us? Have you ever wondered why they sell the drugs and they pull the trigger? And the black cop may beat you worse than a white cop. And the black leader maid will chase you down while the white leader maid may let you go. Or the minister would lie and say anything. Have you ever wondered why this is so easy to them? Then you must read a book called Are There Black Devils? For in the midst of us, living with us, marrying us, teaching us, preaching to us, are black devils who were here before the creation, the graftation of the pale devil. Read the book, Are There Black Devils? A must for anyone who wants to know the truth. It's available at your nearest Tents of Abraham. To order, write to the Tents of Abraham, Post Office Box, 50547, Atlanta, Georgia, 30302. The Kohen Priest. This was a sacred plate that can be found in the book of Exodus. Read about the breastplate in Revelation chapter 21, verses 18 through 20. Read where the priest wore the breastplate. This is not merely a piece of jewelry or an ornament. This is a sacred relic. Read in Exodus chapter 28, verse 15. For you are the original priest of the ancient house of Israel. Wear your breastplate. It's a talisman against evil. In 14 karat gold for male, $475, female, $275. To order, write to the Tents of Abraham, Post Office Box, 50547, Atlanta, Georgia, 30302. Thank you. Now we will continue with Rabboni Yeshua Bar El Hadi on Mount Zion.
And what was taking place then? The planet had got so corrupted amongst the Elohims. And when you look up Elohims or heavenly host, you see that they say heavenly host or Elohim or angelic beings. You follow that? So if the Elohim were beings who came to this planet from somewhere else, I'm saying somewhere else so I don't get distracted by UFO conversation, right? Came to this planet from somewhere else, and they lived on this planet. They called them giants. It's right in the Bible. Giants were in the earth in those days, right? And Adam and Eve encountered living and dealing with these beings. These people must have had laws. Adam or Eve, one of them had to be living by those laws to know the laws. Who was he talking to? Adam or Eve, when he spoke about that? A man. The law is that a man should. He's talking to Adam. You'd like to believe that Adam was a good person. Adam was 7 feet because he was a Nephilim and an Anakite. His family had mixed in. They were part of the people called Path. Path are the original people of the planet Earth, pygmies. Two people existed at the time that you identify. One lived over near the two rivers called Nile, or Nil, and others lived over near the two rivers called Tigris and Euphrates. You understand? And both of these rivers were fed from the Mediterranean. The only difference is when you look at the map today, you have a problem. You're trying to figure out how the water ran down the Nile this way and up the Euphrates this way. Correct? It ran through Greece and down through Babylon. How? Because it was before the planet was tilted off its axis. See, your planet has now been tilted on a 23-degree axis. So where Tigris would have been here, and the Nile would have ran there, down above, beneath the Mediterranean, now it's sitting like this, so it looks like it's impossible. So when you go to a map, you can't see those four rivers that's flowing down, and you get confused. But if you go back to before the planet got shifted off its axis, you'll see how the... You follow? So this part is on the eastern end of the garden, obviously. And where would that be at? That's in the Persian Gulf. That's in an area called Or, which means flames in Aramaic or Hebrew. Or means flames. The city of Nod was in the midst of the flames. And what is flames called? What do you know flames as? As hell. You understand? Flames is hell. And there is where the giants, the wicked beings, live. And it said, in when you get to Bereshit in the sixth chapter, that the sons of God, the first one, those are not positive Elohim, those are negative Elohim, disagreeable. They took the daughters of men. You see the difference? The second time it says they went in unto them. But the first time it says they took. That means they left the Euphrates area and went over into Egypt, where we lived at, the pygmies. You follow that? We didn't stand over 4 feet at the time. And the giants who came down stood over 7 feet. The normal height of a man, whether you like it or not, is 5'6". I'm not 5'6", so that's don't think I'm saying it because it's me. It's a perfect balance between the Elohim on that side and the Elohim on that side because we created him in our image. And if they're 7 feet and they're 4 feet, the middle image would be 5'6". You follow? So now these wicked beings left their land and went over into Egypt called Mitzrayim, today called Gen, back then, Garden, and took women from all that they chose. You follow that? And that family that they chose that ended up on their side is where Adam, who was a descendant from the original people, that's why when you see the picture of Adam, he has wavy hair. He doesn't have 9 ethers. He has 8 ethers. There's 9, 8, 7, and 6 ethers in our hair. Another question that comes up. How did Nephibel or Eve become light-skinned? That's because you want to convince yourself because you're dark-skinned,
that the first people were dark-skinned. Very convenient. But genetically, that's just not true, because two dark-skinned people can give birth to a brown-skinned person. It'll stay within a certain color range from Latino all the way down. When you get to the point where the skin is ghost-like, it's non-ethereal, it's ghost-like, it's transparent, then you've bred out of the Ethiopian people, the nine ether. Adam's family were Pathites. That's the same path you read about in ancient Egypt, right, who influenced Amun-Ra. Mixed in, was kidnapped, taken over there to live in that land. Thus, Abraham's family is born out of all Chaldea, not being born in Ethiopia where they belonged. And Adam himself was a mixture. He was a giant. He was 7 feet tall to the original Pathites of ancient Egypt. You understand? So he was influenced by good or bad. Or what should we say, agreeable or
disagreeable.
He was influenced by a disagreeable people. Did Nahas. Nahas is a taller word for the whisperer. There's no word serpent in there. It's Nahas. One of his names is Thabun. That's one of his ancient names. It means a snake. His real name is Samuel. Samuel, that was his name. But who did he go to? Huh? He went to Eve. He did not go to Adam. Why didn't the devil go to Adam?
Oh, he's already there.
He knew Adam.
He knew Adam.
Right? Shouldn't it have been that he should have went to Adam and let Adam influence Eve as opposed to going to Eve and letting Eve know? Because Eve was of the original Pathites of ancient Ethiopia and was good. Adam's family had been living over at the Euphrates and had become influenced by evil. So the whole purpose of the breeding, or as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke about, the graftation and the black and the brown seed, which is how in Adam, was to breed the evil out of us and make us back into the image of the Elohim, so you'd have contact like you used to directly with the universe. To the dog star. You heard the dog star before? What is it called? Osiris. What is it called in Mitzrayim? Anubis. The jackal, the dog. You understand? The god of death. The god of life. That's our representation of black jackal to them. To worship Amorite, when he's worshiping God. And God, like I said before many times, in dyslexia, his dog, he's talking about the god Anubis of ancient Egypt, which represented us. You understand? Not the jackal of the cave that he encountered when he had to go into the cave when the last sun cycle came through and the moon cycle went out. He was asking, why did Canaan go up into the cave? Because the sun cycle came in and the people of Nuwapu, the sun people come to power. And the night people, and let me give you some names for it. Dracula. When you look in the New Testament, as it's called, in their Greek translations, the word for serpent is drag with a K, eon. Drag eon. And they say dragon. The name Dracula is from a German origin, and it's Dracion. Dracula is a symbol of a being that cannot stay under the sun. He roams by night, and he needs fresh blood because he is a hemophiliac. A hemophiliac is a being that lacks hemoglobin in the blood and does not have the power to produce clotting factors.
Okay.
You with me? Dracula wears a long black cloak, symbol of the night. Dracula has to go into a sarcophagus or a sepulchre or a coffin in modern day. In ancient times, there were no coffins. People were put inside caves. And he has to have the natural soil under it. You follow that?
Mm-hmm.
So they're uniting Europe. And they're building underground tunnels in Europe. Mm-hmm. Does anybody know about all the underground tunnels that's being built in Europe? Mm-hmm. Dracula is aware that the sun cycle is coming in, so evening and morning is passing for a seventh day. Meaning, we had the 6,000 years, and let's read it the way you see it. We had a 6,000 year period, correct? Now, after 6,000 comes in, so if his time is up in the year 2000, which is the year 6,000 from canon, that ends another day. And how does the scripture usually say? Evening and morning was the... Now let's go into the seventh day, because everybody desisted on the last seventh day. And they called it Shabbat. Right? Now, we're coming into the seventh day. A new horizon. The sun is getting closer to the planet. Dracula has to get back in his coffin, or the sun will burn him up. It's just called, in modern day, skin cancer. Nubian people, stop wrestling with the devil. You already have the blessing. All you have to do is wait. All you have to do is be a sabr. Patient.
When Allahu Azim, the Supreme Soul, had finished all that was created on earth, he rested on the seventh day.
This series of tapes, Inflammation versus Misformation, were recorded from classes given this year by Dr. Malachi Z-York, known to us as the Supreme Grand Master Naya Malachi Zoduk El, our own Pharaoh, Amenubi Ruakatar. And now, listen with an open mind and heart as our Grand Master inflames you with only the truth. Allow your inner light to flow again and stomp out misformation with only the facts. And now, listen to the Supreme Grand Master Naya Malachi Zoduk El.
Then you redeeming himself by sending his son Murdoch, showing that he can do things as said to be doing, or did Anu send you, my master teacher?
Anu. Anu sends Inki, and Anu sends me. Inki couldn't send me anywhere. Because though I am spiritually related to Inki as his son, you know, I reject everything Inki stands for. Because he opposed Anu. And it was a strong decision because I was conceived to a reptilian wife of Inki as a disagreeable, a warrior, a defender. And I had to change, okay, my whole genetic structure recalibrated so that I could work on behalf of Anu, but act as a defender of the innocent at the same time. So I had to be given the ability to kill when killing is not in the Anunnaki's nature. Thus, it was necessary to be born to Eve, who was a reptilian, that I'd have a reptilian mentality as well as an Anunnaki mentality as far as agreeable, yah, and disagreeable way. I'd have both of those attributes because this is what you have. You have both an agreeable nature and a disagreeable nature sitting in this room. And I don't mean there are some agreeable people and some disagreeable people. Everybody sitting in this room has agreeable in them and disagreeable. Everybody in there has a little devil in them, and everybody in there has a little God in them. In order for a being to come to you, to raise you up, they've got to have the kind of nature you have so that you can't trick them, because you're very good at it. Not this kind. Anything else? The brother from Washington came down a long way, and people from Washington, I assume, are in the house. Yeah. teacher y'all down here. He did a very good job. He's a good teacher. I know y'all learned a lot. Makes me feel good to see young brothers coming up, because nothing is sadder than seeing a purpose destroyed, because maybe the leadership harbors and controls all the information for themselves in order to look heaven. And then when they pass on, there's no one to pick up that baton and keep running. It's good to see that these young men are coming up, and I'm hoping to see some young sisters get up here. Not that young doesn't mean nothing to me, though. Remember, you know how I was. You know, young has nothing to do with age. Means in stages of learning. I want to see some of these young sisters get up and also teach and carry this word out, because I know you know what time we're at. I know you can see the world, the conditions of the world. Needless to say, the clock is ticking louder than ever ticked before. And time is running out. And I'm not going to preach doomsday. I'm not going to tell you that the end of the world is coming, the end of a kind of world is coming, the end of a kind of rulership is coming, and it's high time for it to go. So that the new world, and not new world order, but the new world can come into play where love rules and not emotions. Right? What else you want to talk to me about? Go ahead.
Me and some brother was building on the idea of why is it we have to get back to a state of WAPU, and we were looking at it as a neutral state, okay? And I was thinking on that.
You looked at it as a neutral state.
Yeah, we looked at it as a neutral state. Okay. State of the WAPU as a neutral state. And
whatever that means. I don't know what that means. I'll go with you with Dante. I don't know what it means. Go ahead.
Okay, but I was looking at that and I was thinking, maybe while we're here dealing with this society, we have to focus more on our positive nature and suppress the disagreeable side of us, so that we could kind of like balance things out. Because I remember when you were saying that our planet has been surrounded by a almost disagreeable crystal-like energy thing. And I was thinking that if we were to focus more on the positive, on our positive nature, suppress the disagreeable, would balance things out and allow us to be able to cope with the things that's going on in this society now. But later on, once we establish our state of Uwapu, you would then be able to get back to that neutral state and then exercise both our agreeable and disagreeable using sound right reason. So is that what's going on? Is that why we have to focus more on our positive nature?
That probably was a little heavier than what I was saying. To me, sound right reasoning is already in each of us. What has happened is all of our reasoning, our sound judgment, and most important, right decisions has been overlaid by theatrics. In other words, they took out reason and replaced it with belief. And in belief, if you try to reason out what you believe, you're usually called a blasphemer or a troublemaker. If you belong to a religious denomination, let's say Christianity, for instance, for starters, and you're a devout Christian, and someone attempts to assassinate the Pope, you follow? You say that's a very sad thing. That's a very sick thing to do. That's how you see it. And that is a way to see it. But in Nuwampo, the next way to see it is, why is the Pope ducking? You follow? Why would the Pope attempt not to die if the greatest of all glories is to be back in the bosom of God? And if you are the Pope, you're about as close to the bosom of God as most or any man could possibly be. You have to ask, see, what Nuwapo does is it raises that kind of question through reasoning, that bothers people. Because it says, why is the Pope driving around in a bulletproof vehicle if him and God is tight? Why is he trying to tell me to be good in order to go to heaven to be with God, and he don't want to go to heaven? Billy Graham passed out giving a lecture, and he's on his fourth collapse. His fourth collapse. And he is fighting to live. He is trying to live. He's got all kind of tubes in him and breathing machines and heart pumping machines, and he wants to live. I would assume, get with me, I would assume that Billy Graham would want to die if Billy Graham believes in heaven. If he believes that when you die, you go to God and you go to heaven, why is he trying so hard to stay here? And the first thing that happens to most of the people in this room, once they become frustrated, is, I don't want to live. If they're religious, they I want to go to God. Why is the Pope and Billy Graham and a multiple amount of other religious leaders, including my beloved brother, Minister Louis Farrakhan, standing around with a bunch of bodyguards, standing around, like, why doesn't he want to die if he believes in heaven? I don't believe in heaven. I know some niggas can stand up with a gun right now and pull the trigger. But I got to learn to duck, because I don't believe. I don't believe in that killing. Teach you to be so God-fearing that you don't have enough sense to duck when that nigga stand up with that gun. But the men that say that they believe that there's some heavenly abode that we all go to, and that God is there waiting to embrace us, and his son meets us on the way through the light, why are they trying not to get there? This is what Nwafo is. So it's not about Nwafo being neutral. Nwafo is that dormant presence of divine in each individual that makes you question everything you are about to do, be it good or evil. When you're about to do something and it's wrong, and you know it's wrong, something says to you, now you know this is wrong. And something else says, but it's fun. Everybody that gets ready to bungee jump, everybody, while they're tying this thing on the ankle, and as they get near the edge, they say, you know, I'm telling you now, this is real stupid. And as they look over the edge, they backtrack the rubber all the way back to the ankle. And something said, I'm giving you one more chance to think this out. Now, this is stupid. And then they jump. and after they defeated that divine awareness in them, jumping becomes fun. It becomes a recreation. It becomes a ritual. Then they want to try something else, dearie. Once you coat over or blot out that Nwafo in you, and this is done through concentrated effort, it's done through words, it's done through gestures, it's done through the media. When I was talking to some people yesterday, and I was saying, I want you to all think about this for a minute. Everybody complains about people talking about them behind their back. You know what I mean. Someone, don't be talking about me behind my back. I don't want nobody to talk to me any other place but behind my back. Because behind my back is my face. Behind my face would be the problem. So if someone said, I'm going to talk about you behind your face, bend their back there.
But if they're talking about you behind your back, then they're standing in front of you. Has taught us to accept this as backwards thinking has succeeded in tricking us to think the way they want us to think. And they tricked us into fighting Biggie Smalls against Tupac and had them really thinking they were gangsters. I mean, they really think they're gangsters. They make the faces. They make the videos with the hats and the guns, and they walk in the club like the Godfather, and then they shoot each other. And I think this Bible says, as a man thinketh, so shall it be. These people think themselves into their own destruction. But what type of tricks are used to make us susceptible to that type of thinking is what's frightening. How easily is it done? I remember talking to y'all months ago when kids were still wearing baggy clothes, and I said, pretty soon they're going to be fitting clothes.
Yeah.
They're going to tighten the clothes up. Sneakers have got to go. Lugs are in. After lugs comes in wingtips. Pretty soon the women are wearing tight clothes and wigs and nails and lips and everything because it's money involved. Ain't about nothing else but money. Now, how is it that they can have 90% of the people who are on television you see today wear velvet? Because somebody decides it's time to bring in velvet. And now people are wearing velvet. And they decide next month it's time to bring in satin. People be wearing satin. That's because you have given up that nuwapo in you. You open your eyes and you digest things. And what you digest is able to change the way you feel and think. It actually goes against your better or best judgment. You see what I'm saying? And that way they can say stuff like, you can't make up a word like overspending because it's not in the dictionary. And I say, well, there's no diction in the dictionary either. It's just definitions. And I can, if you got an understanding, an overstatement, I can have an overstanding and an understanding. Is it bothering you because you knew one day I would figure out that this Bible and the Quran, they give us a great understanding, they have a lot of knowledge in it, a lot of wisdom in it, and a great understanding. But the only being or beings that was here before it, that would overstand it, you follow that? Or overview it, or write it, would have to be God. Mortals would be given it to understand it, to stay beneath it. But God was there when it was happening. And that's why it's called mystery. And mystery prefixed my story. That's why they don't want to ever call it a history book. And you can tell them, well, because Abraham was a Chaldean, and Chaldean's a geographical place on the planet, and he's back in time, then this, if I read the story of Abraham, I am reading the history of a man. So this is a history book. They said, no, this is the holy book. I said, well, okay, then it's a holy history book. It's a history book. Now, what does the history have to do with what I'm doing today? Nothing. So why are so many people caught up in this history book? Because it gives you the key to controlling the emotions of people. It gives you a word that I greatly dislike, believe. And why I hate the word believe so much is because when people get to talking about you in front of your back, The first thing they do, in most cases, is say, you know what I think? I have an opinion here. That's the goal. I think, well, Jesus is supposed to come back and get us. Say, you believe that? That's what I believe. Well, I choose not to believe it. Then they say, well, you're a blasphemer. I choose not to accept the title of blasphemy. You're a cult. I choose not to accept the word color. You're crazy. I choose not to accept the word crazy. See, the moment I can instill in you a belief, an unconfirmed fact, then I can point at the whole Chinese nation, label them, and call them the devil. And because you want to believe it, you will. You won't investigate. Because I think when I said, excuse me, are there black devils? Eyebrows raised up his voice. No, he ain't. No, bruh, Esau is not going to go there. And I said, yes, I am. Because that's Nuwapo. That's reality. When you go there and say, are you going to tell me that all black people are good and all white people, Chinese people are bad? You going to tell me that you have never met a black devil? You? Can anybody in here tell me that you never met a black devil? Someone who's black? I mean, Bongo Bimbo? And say that he doesn't have the devil in him or her? Come on with it, if you can. So you know what that would make us? And we persist in that doctrine? What? Hypocrites. But religion teaches people to be hypocrites. Because it teaches you to love your neighbor if they belong to your same faith. Now, that doesn't add the last chapter. It basically says, love thy neighbor as I love thyself. That means, being I'm a Christian, anybody who's not like myself, I don't have to love. It's a little tricky, but as we listen, those things trick our minds, and then it feels all right for me to say, well, if I am a Muslim and you are a Christian, it's all right for me to blow up the World Trade Center. Because I believe that you are a bad person. Because you do not believe what I believe. You see where it rules us? But when I knew, and the rest of your guardians, what you might call angelic beings, angelos, start to approach, you had to be reprogrammed as a being. You had to be prepared for beings that when they talk to you, they talk straight at you. They don't talk in belief. They don't talk in approximate. They don't talk in parables. That's why I look at the Quran and start in chapter 2 and says, and Allah has a parable for you. And you go, and use the word mathal, the likeness is the word they really use. And you say to yourself, the almighty, powerful, boundless God of all the universe has to speak in parables. Can't he just say, don't do that? Don't you have to do something like, doing of that in accordance with the result of the doing of a data could result in a very tragic, just say, nigga, don't do that. It would be a heck of a lot simpler for me. The Quran would be less pages, more people would read it, and things would get off. here to the book of St. John. Let me see what it says here. Nice little book. It's still a nice book. It says here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things was made by Him, and without Him there was not anything made that was made. In Him was the light, and the light was the light of man, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Why is it necessary to do all of that? Let me see what he was trying to say. There was a beginning, and there was a word spoken in that beginning, and that was God. And the word that was spoken was light, and the light made light. That's why it is man. Simple. Why does God study Shakespeare? Why does he have to emulate Shakespeare? Why is it that God does not want every individual to pick up this book and get a clear understanding of it? Why must we have people to come along and give us tafsir of the Quran, interpretations of things? Why isn't the Quran so clear that everybody that picks it up would understand it? The Quran tells you it has no intentions of being clear. It starts off, Alif, Lam, Mim. Three letters. Then it goes, Zalika al-kitabu la rayba fi, hudan lil muttaqin. Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaybi wa yuqimuna as-salat. وَمِمَّا رَزَّقَنَهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Sounds nice. Oh, dear God, what is he saying? Let me tell you that most Arabic-speaking Muslims are also saying, what is it saying? And they say it in Salat, and they're still saying, because I did it for 50 years, not 50, 40, before they put the light on. That what is it saying? So you go back and say, brother, what does Alif Lam Mim mean? So the three letters, A, L, and M, they're in the initial letters of the Surah Al-Baqarah of the Quran. What do they mean? They'll say, nobody knows. Any ex-Muslims in it? Don't be ashamed to hide now. You know you are. Yeah. All I had to do was yell out Salaam Alaikum when I came in. Y'all don't know. When it came out, even if you wasn't there, know it. They don't know what it means. Yet, the Muslim world will hold up the Quran and say, this is undisputed guidance. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. That is this. El Kitabu, book, la, no, rayba, doubt, be in it. They literally open it with there's no doubt in it. And then when you ask them, what does those three letters mean, they say, I don't know. And somewhere along the line, they have not made the equation with I don't know and I wish I did know with doubt. What does that mean? It means that the initial writer knew that anybody who started after that and called it unquestionable or undoubted was a believer. Thus they call themselves mu'minun or mu'minat and mu'min. We are believers. The word mu'min doesn't even mean believe. Come amana meaning faith. And faith is damn near as bad as belief. But you're still asking me to subscribe to something that's not been confirmed. You see that? But as we approach the time, or what they refer to as the information age, we are being informed
by our beings or ancestors, or as I often would say, descendants, because they're descended, they are triggering you now. They are opening you up where you have the ability to be prepared for their presence. Because in the state of mind that most Christians and Muslims are in, if Jesus came out the sky, they wouldn't know what the heck to do. They're waiting here, then the reverend is saying, I'm telling y'all that Jesus is coming now, soon now. But if Jesus walked into their church, and it was an Ethiopian Baptist church, and Jesus had blonde hair and blue eyes, which is the kind of game that God likes to play, or walked in a white church and had a big old afro, which is the kind of game God likes to play. Whether you like it or not, you like, we got a way with games. We can go into God's games if you want to. What would happen if he walked into the church of the Black Madonna right now in Atlanta and he had blonde hair and blue eyes and said, I am Jesus? They would throw him out the church. And he walked into a KKK church.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know it's true.
And had a big old poopy-doo afro, big old Michael Jackson afro about this, and said, I am Jesus. They would throw him out the church. Well, they would have, no, I think it's a little biased to say that they would crucify him in the KKK church, but they wouldn't crucify him in the Black Muslim church, because the Black Muslim church is equivalent to the KKK church. The same ignorance prevails. Whether you want to accept Farrakhan as a grand wizard or not is your business, but anybody with an intelligence see that he is just as dangerous as the grand wizard in a philosophy that teaches people to hate each other. When nature does not segregate in what I call God's game, the people right now in Canada that are buried under ice and living in shelters by the thousands are not really concerned with their religious doctrine or dogma right now. Most of them are concerned about heat and a sandwich. Some warm clothes and a place to sleep and a sandwich to eat. You follow? And they would share that sandwich with a white person, or all black person, anybody would share, because nature, Reverend, nature is bringing the reality to us, because nature doesn't segregate. Humankind is way past their limits on the planet. You are supposed to have been gone ever since you started taking needles or vaccines to survive. When you have to immune your body against nature, when a child gets all these vaccines, nature is basically saying, I want y'all out of here. I want y'all off my planet, out my house, because y'all are menace to each other, every animal, every tree. I want y'all out. So now when the baby's born, the doctors tell them, you must get at least 16 shots, something we talked about before, before you're 16 years old, or you have any of a number of diseases that would kill you. Who is providing these diseases? God. There'd be no diseases if God didn't want diseases. Are you hearing me? Then you say, there'd be no AIDS if God didn't want it. Well, some men, they went into a laboratory and they experimented and they came up with this germ. Yeah, but God gave men the intellect to go into the laboratory, and God made those type of germs that could come together and be that deadly, and designated the time for it. You know how I know that? I know that because you believe in this Bible. And this Bible says, according to your belief, that the people in Sodom and Gomorrah were homosexuals. And they didn't die of AIDS. So what happened? God got a new idea? Blowing up homosexuals and destroying cities ain't good enough? So he came up with a bacteria? Why aren't you looking at it that way when they say asexual disease is God created? This is the Reverend. This is Jerry Falwell, the moral majority, and Billy Graham, and Reverend Price, and Reverend Swagger, and Reverend, well, he wouldn't say that. He got a little sugar in his own shoes. most of them are saying that God brought AIDS into existence to eliminate homosexuals, and they go back to Genesis and say God sent angels down from heaven to eliminate homosexuals. Thousands of years ago, he had to use a method of blowing up the city. Now God uses germ warfare. Doesn't that sound like God belongs to the United States Marine Corps? Because thousands of years ago, or hundreds of years ago, the First and Second World War, they were blowing up people. Now people came back from Desert Storm and they're complaining because of germ warfare. So are you trying to, please listen to us here. So you're telling me God used bombs like in Hiroshima and Nagasaki a long time ago, and now God uses AIDS during warfare like they did in Gulf Breeze. Don't you see that some man wrote this, and he has God stepping down through history with him? And he has modernized God's judgment up to the level of his. And you can't even take God beyond his level, because it ain't God writing it. And if it was, you'd be able to go into this book and find something in here, all the Quran, the Bible, all the Quran, that is non-earthly. It would be a cue to you that this is from somewhere else. But you can't tell me anything in these books that are not related to earth. And when they tell you and me about, this is not really funny, but hell, Betty Shabazz already had hell. Now, if she was a wicked woman, what would she be getting, being she got burnt to death already on this side of things? You hear me? What would be her judgment? Would God have to come up with a new system, a new kind of fire? But in here, fire is described as sulfur, fire and brimstone. Go into the Greek and research. It uses the elements of the planet. And all of us are familiar with fire in its many forms.
Right?
Right.
And oxygen is needed to keep it burning.
Right.
God speaks about rivers in heaven. Hydrogen and oxygen is in heaven. The tree in the garden, it had to grow before Adam made it. Now, did God come down with some angels and plant a full-grown tree in the garden for the sole purpose of tempting Adam and Eve? Or did they plant seeds in the garden and wait for it to grow? Listen to me. You write knowledge now. God came down to earth where there was a garden and no tree. He plants a tree, nurtures a tree of good and
evil,
let it grow, and then send some innocent children he created, who he knows don't have nothing inside their head, and let them walk up into the tree, and a snake, who he obviously created, because he created, he had the same waiting room like this, who who was the most subtle of all the beasts of the field. First of all, snakes are not beasts of the field, but anyway, let's just keep going on. The snake is around the tree waiting. Here comes drunk Eve. No offense to women. She was dumb into a bar. She didn't know anything. There wasn't nothing to know. Ain't nothing was here. So Eve is walking down the road, mind her business, and here a beast who this book describes, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, wait, I went only to Genesis 24. Boy, am I running. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, not created. And there's a difference in here. So this being was cunning. That's what subtle means. Manipulative, conniving, shrewd. Right? And then I send a little innocent girl, because I'm assuming being Adam and Eve was just born. unless we cue in on the age. If I'm saying, being Adam and Eve was just born, they were coming to the garden with a big diaper on. And God had the mat waiting next to the tree for them. The mat, the con artist, was waiting next to the tree. And then comes Eve, and he goes, obviously, because he calls him the whisperer. He goes, and he goes,
yes.
Come here, let me tell you something. Let me see what he tells her. Here's what he says. Unto the woman. Yay. And God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. That's what he said. Did God tell you not to eat of every tree? This is the tree God grew, y'all. Waited for it to grow. Then created the poor innocent woman, directed her intelligence towards the tree, while at the tree the devil was waiting for her, who was conniving, manipulative, and subtle. Okay, but this is what y'all want to believe. Show me. Let's see what happens. And the woman said unto the serpent, well, can I go back to this? Don't
worry about it.
Snakes do not talk. Hello, ma'am. I have yet to meet a snake. Heard a parrot? I heard a parrot. He say something. He can do it. God made it possible. God said pirates can learn to talk. But hell, there ain't no snake anywhere that has a voice box and can talk. All right? We got that first. So serpent is somebody's name, like an old friend of mine from the Jitterbug day. We used to call him Snake. We said, what's up, Snake? Now, in the event that he got in the Bible, oh, he could talk. He could talk. He didn't talk very well, but he could brother talk. No, not even talk. That's how he talked. So I don't think people even understood him. And the woman said unto the servant, now she's talking back to a snake. Now, come on. You walk in the garden, see a snake around the tree, and the snake says, come here. And you don't go yet. You talking about sending your children somewhere being unprepared. I didn't jump from the Old Testament to the New Testament and come up with the same kind of unprepared child of God. Because Jesus was like, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass by me. I know what kind of you jump, but if that, you know what he was talking about? He was talking about the crucifixion. Jesus did not want to die. which means the whole story of Jesus being born and knowing he was going to die was a lie. Because if Jesus was born the Son of God and knew he was born to die, he would not have said, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He would not have ran when they were trying to catch him. You follow? If he knew this from birth, why was he afraid? What did he mean by, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? If God's plan was for his son to come down here and die for our sins, his son would have been a willing sacrifice, something they stole out of Abraham's story in Isaac. But his son Jesus, if you read the Bible, did not want to die. Like the Pope. Now, why Jesus didn't want to go back to his father, they said that he fell in the garden and he sweated blood. Homeboy was really going, "Oh." I want to see one of y'all people in hell bend down and pray and sweat some blood. You know how hard homeboy had to be praying to change sweating to blood? But this is faith saving time. This is reality time. And this may not sound or sit right with your fancy, but until you can prove it otherwise, then you're going to have to deal with it. Until it shakes that spell of ignorance that is making us hate each other all over the world. And we the people, we're supposed to do something about the people that rule us that don't have all their marbles. Whether they rule us from the pulpit or Congress, wherever, we got to check them out. And we've got to get to the point where I, please don't get angry at me when you're doing what I'm doing to people and you tell people ahead of time. Don't get angry with me because I'm not a believer. Don't get angry because I'm not spooked out. Give me some stop concrete answers. When I finish talking for a little while, I will ask that brother right there to step up and sit over there so I can take that seat, and I'll let any one of y'all who want to come up here, who say you Jesus, or say you Muhammad, and you want to get up there and talk to us so we can ask you some questions, you can have this here. But don't get mad, because every time I ask questions, people get mad at me, because I go directly at you. I don't hold no punches because I'm dealing with the one thing that anybody or nobody can tamper with, and that's my soul. That's all I got left. They ain't took it. If you tell me that I have a destination in paradise, on the right or left or beneath or up, wherever, next to God, I am going to question you. Because I'm not going to spend the last days of my life sitting in a church or a mosque or synagogue humming with your ass to die to find out it ain't true. I want to know ahead of time. And if you can't prove it to me, don't be angry because I'm not a believer. And if you want to die, I'll go to hell, then hell. I'll go to hell. But I'm not going to no ignorant heaven. And to add to that, if the kind of people like Mother Teresa, the Pope, and the religious men I met in the Islamic world, if they're in heaven, I don't want to be there. I don't want to go to a place where you sit down forever and do absolutely nothing. I don't want a couch with rivers flowing beneath it, with angels running around feeding me. I don't want to do that forever. I'd rather struggle on earth trying to get a job than to sit in the tree in a playground and do nothing but look at flowers all day. You can do that in the insane asylum. The nearest I've ever seen on earth to the heaven is an insane asylum, where a bunch of people are sitting around in the day room with clean clothes and nothing to do. Promising you when you die, You are going from insanity into an insane asylum where God will be with you, and that makes it okay. Well, I'm not that kind of fellow. So that's why I sit back and I look at this and say, well, let me go on and talk about this. And if the reverend can defend himself, I'm with him. If he can't, he gets mad, he just has to scratch his ass and get glad. He's not going to mess up my soul because he's confused. to keep some oil in his Cadillac. He ain't doing it to me.
Right.
You understand? Let's do it now. And the woman just said to the serpent, what's he doing? She's talking to the snake. If I was walking down the street talking to a snake, what would they put me? things that make you go. She said, now, first of all, he's talking to her. This is women for you. If she includes us, and then pull us in, Adam somewhere drunk probably. He didn't know what the grapes would do to him. He said that the grapes he got drunk from, and you know, that's what most of us men do. We don't know. Y'all gotta forgive us. You know, when women get together, they call us dumb. We dumb. So, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden.
That's all.
But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not touch it, neither shall you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, ye shall die. Die. God told Adam and Eve, or Adam or Eve, or even as she incorporated that, don't touch this tree. All the other trees you can touch, this one here, don't touch it, because the day you touch it, you're going to die. The word here is mut in Hebrew, dead. It's not allegorical, real. It's not spiritual. The Hebrew word is mut, not, you know, like not fucking moving ever again, feet breathing. Adding your name is John, they add easy like John this on the end of it. Dead.
Yeah.
It got to be real. That's what it says. Dead. Now God said if you eat that stuff, I'm gonna kill you. You got me? Now that's clear to me. You wouldn't have to tell me that twice, not God. You don't have to tell me that once. I said, I got you. The serpent said, I said, who are you, man? How do you get the balls to even question the basin of the cheese? I want to know who are you. I wouldn't be questioning God. I would be questioning the serpent. Not one time in here that she started saying, yo, man, who are you?
That's right.
Why he can't kill you? Why can't God kill the devil for introducing them to the fruit and introducing them to disobedience to God? Why is it that God can't kill the devil? Did you ever ask yourself that?
Yes.
You know why you don't ask yourself that?
Why?
Because that question walks hand in hand with the question is why is there evil on the planet? And if God didn't want all this corruption and evil and hate and racism, couldn't he? And shouldn't he just go poof and it be gone and it just be the most loving, beautiful place? Why must the rose die? Why must the rose die? And why must it have a thorn? Why must I be deceived by nature when I see a rose and I go, oh, that's such a beautiful, the first time. Boy, that's such a beautiful flower. And I love her so very much that I'd like to rip this beautiful rip this beautiful flower out the ground and kill it to give it to her to show her that I love her. And so I reach down in my love and concern for her at the base of the rose and go, ouch.
Yeah.
must the rose have a thorn? Why must the tomato spoil? Why must a racing horse break his leg? You know what I'm saying? Is that really necessary for God to go, yay? Can't God just say, a goodness servant just say, here, my darling. Oh, woman, here, my darling. We don't understand that, right?
Right.
No. Yay, ye shall not. So he died. Now the devil is thinking for God. For God doth know that the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, plural, knowing good and evil. So the means by which a person becomes God is for them to disobey God and inherit evil because they already had good, because they were created in the image and after the likeness of God. So the only thing he could be talking about at this point is inheriting the evil side. So the way to become God is to become evil. That's what your Bible says. And I'll read it again for y'all who don't understand or overstand or in between stand what I'm saying. Verse 4 of Genesis chapter 3 says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now the devil is not scared of God.
No,
right? He's not scared of being that makes thunder and lightning and earthquakes and rainstorms and parasites and diseases. He said, you ain't gonna die. He's just a powerful individual here. But above God's power, would you? No. He's doing it. You ain't gonna die. And then again goes on. He says for, but it means because. Because God does. Let's just say, because God knows that the day that you eat, at that day, because there's the word then there, and in Hebrew, then your eyes shall be opened. What does that mean? What does that mean? When Eve was walking in the garden and she saw the serpent, did she have her eyes open or closed?
Okay.
So what does this mean? It means your spiritual eye. You see? And it's so colorful, it's so you know what I mean? So swami. So soupy to go your spiritual eye. For something evil. Your eyes shall be opened and what? And you shall what? Be as God, knowing good from evil. And they confirm it further here and says, now the man has become like one of us, to know good from evil. That's further down in the same chapter, in the further verses. These are cherubims talking. Now let's put man out of the garden, because now he has become like one of us. What were those cherubims then? Were they good or evil? They were evil because man and woman, according to them, were created in the image and after the likeness of God. So they were already good. Who can be gooder than God? So what they did and what they inherited was a new attribute, evil. But in becoming evil, they became like God. Could you please explain that to me? Why are they trying to trick my mind and talk behind my back? Why are they teaching me a doctrine that contradicts logic and common sense and sound right reasoning? Why are they doing that to me? And why will they make you mad at me for pointing it out at you to make you see it? That man's crazy. That man talks against the Bible. That man's anti-Christ. That man, why? How can they get you to do that when all I'm doing is reading to you what you've been reading all your life? And you are helping me to see the interpretation. I just pre-write the interpretation. You're doing this right now. And if you could read this another way, then bring your natty ass up here and do it. Because this I'm reading the King James Version of the Bible. You understand? King James Version. of British Bible in America. If you get the drift. It should be American Bible in America. In America. Aye. And the woman, and when, check this, and when the woman saw that the tree, so now I have to go back, now she's kidding, that the tree was good for food, it was edible. Nowhere in here does it say apple. There's no apple in here. Somebody stuck apple in there. In Sunday school, apple got in there. Apples are not that old. There's over 1,000 species of apples. What kind of apple was it? Was it a Mac? But if you ask that question in church, the reverend will get mad at you. The Sunday school teacher will report it to your grandmother, because your grandmother's the one who would be asked about church. Your mother just says, stop acting up. But grandma just, come here. You never say that again in church. If you question, just tear you up with that switch. You know that switch I'm talking about, that singing switch. You hear me? Yes, because something inside of me, something says, Mom, you know, well, if Adam and Eve were the only people on the planet and they had two sons, came in, where'd they get their wives from? What? You little heathen, go to your room. That's where it started. That's where the block got placed in. So when I start talking about you, you start going, ouch. Even you groan, you still get that sound. Your mind is conditioned not to question this book. So you start saying, that man crazy. No, this man got beat so many times that his grandmother's arm got tired. And then she said, what do you want to know, boy? And he said, I don't know. After 15,000 beatings and 250,000 whoops, I said, that's all I want to know, Grandma, is that you don't know and Reverend Porkchop don't know either. That's all I want to know. I don't want to know. Does somebody know? I don't want to travel, you know. Who are the people in the land of God? Where did they come from? The Bible says Cain left the garden and went to the land of Nod. And nobody was going to pray with Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. So if you go to the land of Nod and nobody was there, what's the point? is it me? Is it only me? I mean, am I crazy because I see things like this? Well, if I see things like this, and God has provided me with an audience of millions of listeners, then God must want me to talk to you. Because people are coming to the waffle from all walks of life.
Right.
We got people in Russia, all in Malaysia.
Right.
In Nigeria, there's a conflict going on because our people are spreading it over there and the Muslims are getting mad.
Uh-huh.
All out in Ghana, South Africa, all the way over to Japan even.
Right.
They're asking, will you put the books in Japanese? I said, if I could, I would. But I can't, so I shan't. But in the event that someone does, or do, you got it. Why is it time to know the truth? Can I dwell on it a little more?
Yeah.
Who was Cain afraid of killing him when he told God, you know, the burden you put upon me for killing my brother is too great. Anyone who catches me is going to kill me. Anyone who came, nobody's on the planet except you, your father, your brother. Well, you killed your brother. He wasn't there no more. So just your mother and father and you. Who was he afraid was going to kill him? And this opens a can of beans to the reality that the planet had people on it before Adam and Eve.
That's right.
Now, archaeologists and paleontologists all recognize that. But Reverend can't teach you that because he'd have to give up that Cadillac. Because he cannot explain who these people are. But we talked about a part of the Bible here in Genesis where it says, and the goal of that land is
good.
And it takes thousands of years for gold to process it, not even more than thousands of years, for coal and earth to crush down and become diamonds. But the Bible talks about the diamonds of God. It talks about gold in Genesis. But the Christian will tell you that the Bible is not more than 6,000 years old. Stretching it in Islam to 10. But it takes millions of years for Mother Nature to make gold. So how is it in Genesis that the gold of the land of Ethiopia is good and man wasn't even on a planet of hot wheat in Genesis? The planet must have existed millions of years before Adam and Eve in order for God to say the goal of that land is good. There must have been people on the planet Earth in order for Cain to find himself a wife. There must have been evil people before Adam and Eve and the serpent, if Cain was afraid of somebody killing him, who God didn't know. God's information was limited. God didn't even know those people. This Bible says there were giants in Genesis chapter 6. There was giants in the earth in those days. Who created the giants? Because Adam and Eve were not the giants, and they were created in the image and after the likeness of God, then the giants were created in God. That means the giants were the law of Akbar, not God. Right.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.